Welcome, councillors, council staff, members of the gallery, to the council meeting on Tuesday, the 22nd of March, 2022. I declare the meeting opened at 6:02 PM. Can I ask that we stand for the council prayer, please? Lord, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing on this council, direct and prosper its deliberations for the advancement of this area and the true welfare of its people. Amen. Please be seated. I would also like to acknowledge the Wangal people of the Eora Nation, who are the traditional custodians of this land, and I would like to pay respect to their elders, both past and present. I just advise members of the gallery that the meeting is recorded for the purpose of assisting with the preparation of meeting minutes and promoting public transparency. These recordings are subject to the provisions of the Government Information Act of 2009 and are made available for public review via the council website. I note there's no apologies or leave of absence. Councillor Pascal Esper is on Zoom, is joining us via Zoom. Declarations of interest by councillors. I know currently there's no declarations of interest, declarations of political donations. I know no declarations of political donations. I don't believe there is planning matters, but if there is, then we would have to have a recording of the councillors voting, yes, the planning decision, confirmation of the minutes of the previous meeting. Do I have a mover for that? It's been moved by Councillor Manner, seconded by Councillor Crichton. Speakers for, against, put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried. Announcement of for public forum. I note there's anyone speaking for public forum? No one speaking for public forum. Anyone speaking on items on the agenda? No one recorded for speaking? I note no one recorded for speaking for items on the business paper. Okay, we'll go into, there's no open, no speakers for open forum. Okay, we'll go into the mayoral minutes. First mayoral minute is the 500 tree planting program. Questions? You would have received an amendment to the mayoral minute. I've added in there part four, which is the general manager provide information on the causes and current rate of loss of trees. And five, the general manager report back to the council. Questions? Councillor Crichton.
Not a question. Can I just put on the record that I applaud this tree planting program, Mr. Mayor, and I really thank you for your ongoing initiative in this space since your first mayoral minute on this issue in 2009. There are so many communal benefits in growing our tree canopy across our entire six suburbs, and with careful planting, trees are an absolute asset for our entire community. I think there's also a great opportunity with our 150th year approaching to look at significant tree plantings as a living memorial to both the current residents of Bald and future generations. Thank you again.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Hatcher.
Thank you, Mayor. Yeah, look, I just wanted to also acknowledge the good work that's gone in to the tree planting program, and I particularly appreciate the inclusion of point four in the mayoral minute, which relates to the information on the causes and current rate of loss of tree canopy in Burwood. And I think it's important to note that when we plant more, we plant new trees, it takes years for those trees to grow to maturity. There's maintenance and cost involved in managing those trees and keeping those trees safe and healthy so that they can, in time, grow to become good, mature canopy. Protecting the canopy that we already do have is really important, and the best way to increase our tree canopy is to protect what's already there and add to it. So I really do applaud the inclusion of that section, and I think that's something that the community is going to be watching very closely. And I think that gives us the opportunity to develop a strong and cohesive tree management policy that takes into account the need to plant new trees, that takes into account the circumstances in which new trees are planted so that they don't bother people, so that they do what they're intended to do. But I think this is a very good minute. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Any other speakers? Questions? I'll put the minute. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Next item is the Burwood Welcomes $5 billion West Invest Fund. We didn't get the $5 billion, but we got $21.5 million. I might just hand over, before we go into questions, to Miriam, who can explain, because there's been some discussion around consultation and how the projects are being decided and timeframes. And there's obviously three stages in this program. So I might just hand over to Miriam to give us a bit of a brief.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So yes, further to the mayoral minute, I think it's important to note that obviously after the announcement was made around the $5 billion West Invest Fund, there was a draft guidelines that was prepared by the Department of Premier and Cabinet. So at the moment, Council is still awaiting the final guidelines and its preparation to be complete, which we expect to be done by the end of this month, at which point we'll have a little bit more information on consultation and engagement requirements, schedule, and a few other key items. But Council's taken a very proactive approach in terms of engagement with the community. What we've done is really take a two-pronged approach at this particular time. So up until the end of March, the community have the opportunity to have their say on the Department of Premier and Cabinet's survey. So what all councils are doing at this point in time is directing people to provide feedback through that channel. Now, that channel actually allows us to filter the responses from our community based on what is important to the community in Burwood. And we will get that report provided to us at the end of the month. Importantly, we'll use a lot of that feedback to shape some of the projects and ideas that we're putting forward. Now, at the end of March, after receiving that information, we'll have 8 weeks. So between we'll have April and May to prepare applications, table applications to council at the end of April and put them forward to the government for review. Now, importantly, there are two key streams of funding, the first being obviously the allocated funding that Mr. Mayor mentioned, which is the $21.5 million that we will prepare projects for. But there's also importantly $1.6 billion that is available to the wider community and local government as well. So what we're actively doing is looking at one-to-one opportunities to work with stakeholders, local community groups, churches, services within the community to look at partnership opportunities. That way we can hopefully seize more funding in excess to that $21.5 million. The other thing we're doing is obviously proactively planning. So Council has definitely had a number of projects in the pipeline where we've conducted significant and extensive consultation, and there's an opportunity for us to potentially put some of those projects forward for funding as well, which gives us that extra vote of confidence. So, yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. That's what we'll continue to do. And at the end of April, we'll table that project and some of the community sentiment based on that have your say process.
Okay, excellent. Is there questions? Councillor Sim, anyone have any questions? Comments before I put them in it? Does anyone want to, Councillor?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. Look, I support this. I think it's obvious, it's a no-brainer, really. But I just want to... I think we need to note that the availability of this grant money comes through the privatisation of transport infrastructure, notably a tollway built by a government that's intent on prioritising promoting car culture over, much needed improvement to active transport and public transport options. I think that's particularly pertinent in an area like Burwood. That could be... a bit of a city leader when it comes to walkability, cycleways, those kinds of things, and obviously the public transport links that we have here. So I think that it's important to note that the construction of this tollway has caused incredible disruption to our community. It continues to impact our neighbours in the inner west. And I think that this grant money will go some way towards compensating our community for this, but I think it's just important that we acknowledge that. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other speakers? Councillor Crichton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would just like to acknowledge that this is a significant amount of funding, and I think it's also a really important acknowledgement of the hardship that our residents faced during the pandemic, when they were not only locked down but kind of shut in into many high-rise apartments here in Burwood. So I think that put a lot of pressure on a lot of our council facilities, and I think it's really important going forward that more people will be working from home, at least to some degree, and that we have to have the facilities ready to cater for our growing community. So I welcome this money, and I also acknowledge that the great leadership role that Boyle Council played through the Boyle Cares program throughout the pandemic and continues to. And even today, walking up from the station, someone recognised me and they said, oh, we still love the updates, the COVID updates through Boyle Care that the council provides. It's been a really important resource for many of our residents who are often struggling to find local advice in community languages from our Department of Health. So thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other speakers? Look, just before putting that Merrill minute, and I take note of the comments from both councillors. I think, yeah, Bill, I met with the Climate Action Change Committee today for Building Canada Bay, which was a really good discussion. We had really good ideas come up in that, and they're quite supportive of council's sustainable build plan. Obviously, would like to see that evolve to a much more, I guess, you know, improving the targets in the future as we go on, but it's a great stepping stone for us. With regards to West Connex, I'd sort of disagree, Councillor, only because we can agree to disagree on that one. I think the West Connex has actually been good. While I'm not talking about the culture with regards to transport and the way of transport, the West Connex, and we're probably the only council in the inner west that supported it at the time, has allowed for cars to actually be funneled off some of our local streets. And the support from residents has been quite positive in the fact that the West Connex has helped in alleviating some of those rat runs that we were experiencing, especially in that sort of north part of Croydon, Burwood, along Wentworth Road to some degree. I guess the next key target for us is to improve cycling, walking, public transport connections. We seem to be seeing a lot of great connections on that northern side of the LGA with the Burwood North Metro coming, which we welcome the government for that, the state government announcing that. But we need to sort of start to look at how do we better connect with our southern suburbs like Enfield, Croydon Park, Campsie and beyond. And I guess that's the next challenge for us. In saying that, I welcome the government and give it credit when credit's due. Even though I might be on the opposite side of the political fence, I think the government, whether you want to argue with the merits of privatising or not, I think the fact that this council has received funding for a project that we actually stuck our hand up and actually supported. We had some issues with regards to the location of the tunnel itself. I think is a welcome for us, and I thank the government and the minister, and I'll be writing to the minister to thank him for that project. I've seen recently in some of the newspaper reports, some adjoining councils arguing that they're not receiving any money, but, you know, at the time they were probably taking a strong view with regards to being against the actual project and so forth. In saying that, like I said, that's a different argument for a different stage. I think these projects, this funding will be put forward to some great community projects, and I'm really looking forward to getting a further council briefing from our staff. I think there's great opportunities in the second part of the actual fund, the West Invest program. This $21.5 million can go towards, you know, projects like public squares, expanding existing park and open space areas that we may have, new all abilities playgrounds, for example, for children of all abilities to be able to enjoy those play spaces, upgrading those spaces. So those type of programs. The second part, which is the $1.6 billion, which I believe could be used across 15 local government areas, provides enormous opportunity. And I think some of that is one of the key things that I want to try to get in front of the minister and talk about is with regards to local government and communities should be doing and public schools should be working a lot closer to be sharing resources and space. You know, we've got these public schools here which are public assets, and there's no reason why their playgrounds, their basketball courts, their tennis courts can't be in some type of arrangement with local government and then unlocked after hours and on weekends. You know, as a young boy growing up in Croydon, I remember going to Croydon Public School and we used to jump the fence, which was only this high. It wasn't one of those large fences now that you see at some detention centre where you're trying to keep everyone in. We used to jump the fence and we used to play, you know, cricket and soccer there on the green space. And we only had Blair Park up the road, but it was just a lot more convenient for us young kids to actually walk around the corner with a ball under our armpit and kick the ball around. And it was, I guess, more comforting for our parents that we didn't have to cross three sort of main roads or streets as younger children to actually have to go out and play. And I think it would send a great message that, you know, if we can get some of these local schools, like Build Public School, for example, it's got this great piece of green space behind it, which is pretty much at the moment derelict and not being used. They've got, I think, two large basketball courts that are enclosed and deteriorating. There's no reason why we shouldn't be able to use a fund like this to do a joint program and open those up to the community as a whole for the school kids during school times and then the community as a whole after school or on weekends. So really looking forward to that. And if you've got some ideas, please bring them forward to us and the council staff. There's nothing else, I'll put them in it. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously as well. And the third Merrill Minute is with regards to the neglect of heritage properties. And this really is just going towards looking at what type of powers we have and to also write to the minister. And it's not about people generally that live in heritage homes. I live in a heritage home myself, but generally the people that live in their homes will maintain the home that it doesn't become derelict. It's more so targeting that people who are speculating on purchasing properties for an investment purpose and because it has some type of listing, deciding to allow it to become derelict to the extent where it's not repairable. Currently, there's no real enforcement powers for councils to issue an order or an enforcement notice for the property to be maintained when it's, I think, being intentionally left to become a derelict property which falls over. There's been, I think, a number of examples across Sydney with properties being left to deteriorate because they're heritage listed and they might be purchased or owned by speculative property investors that might find that the use is greater if the property wasn't there. So it's about looking at ways to encourage and for council to look at ways to actually have enforcement powers to enforce and encourage maintenance of those properties and to create, obviously, awareness and information to our residents. Do I have questions? Councillor Robinson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. One question regarding sort of what you're foreseeing is sort of enforceable. Is this through some sort of fine or is it some sort of public works do that people come over and what do you see in terms of you know, a punishment for non-compliance, I guess. I'm just sort of, in principle, I do accept and support it, obviously, for the beautification of our suburb, but I guess I'm just sort of interested in what you see this, sort of how it works, I guess. And obviously, you know, you've put in that you want to see from the minister exactly what we can do and if we explore further with council what their powers are. but I sort of just want to know how this would be enforced and sort of what that, you know, enforcement looks like.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And just before I answer that, in part one, it should have build council to encourage and enforce. So it should read, Michelle, encourage and enforce. Sorry, we've missed that. It's not so much about the enforcement. So if somebody is obviously living in their home and they live in a heritage home and they might have some financial issues and they can't keep up with the upkeep, it's not about targeting those people. It's more so targeting properties that are more than likely in a, you know, it might be a commercial shop and build road. It might be in one of the streets that has some type of development potential. It might be in a street where someone just wants to, they've purchased it because they want to build a new home on it because it's a large block, for example. So I'm not sure about enforcement. I know currently we have the powers to issue an order, for example, to clean the yard when you're hoarding goods and you know, not maintaining the yard itself. But what about issuing an order to maintain the property itself?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I guess the other question is like sort of what quantifies what's bad, I guess. You know, I mean, if someone, as you said, doesn't have the financial capabilities to fix that, or even if it was a property that someone may not be living in, but they do own it and they live elsewhere, they might necessarily be waiting for it to collapse. But if they just didn't have the capabilities to fix it up, I guess what quantifies derelict? I guess council would have a definition for that. And does that sort of go along with their own definition of that?
Oh, I think so. I think, you know, when there's genuine cases of people that don't have the financial ability to repair or upkeep an item, I think that's hard to enforce. It's more so when you're intentionally neglecting a property, I think. But in saying that, I think it's a discussion we need to have. And look, 90% of people are probably doing the right thing. You might just get that 10% of people that are trying to weasel away around the system where they've left the property. In saying that, there's an example which sort of triggered my thoughts on this is when I was walking my dog down Yarrella Street, and there's a beautiful Federation type home that's there. And I think I rang through to council because they started sort of collecting building materials on the site in the front yard. The grass was sort of as high as me. And when I stopped and was sort of having a look at this beautiful property that if it was restored and tuck pointed would look amazing. Just some of the timber work, the windows that are there, it looked great. The neighbors actually came out and started talking to me about it. And in that particular example, the owner inherited the property and obviously lives, I think, in the mountains, and has just left the property because they didn't want to spend money on repairing it. I don't think they're intentionally trying to, they don't have an ulterior motive, I think, for the use of the property. So there's examples like that. But there should be, for examples, maybe there'd be a loophole where you're looking at heritage properties that are in areas that are zoned for redevelopment. Maybe there should be the powers then for council to put an order for those properties to be restored, because it could be argued that you could be intentionally allowing the property to become derelict, because the greater use for that property would have been to bowl the house over or the property or whatever it might be. So you can put a 5-story block of flats there or whatever it might be. Do you know what I mean? So it might be based on that argument.
That's good.
Yeah, thanks, but I think we definitely need to have a discussion about it across New South Wales, because it'd be really sad to see some valuable heritage properties be lost to the state simply because they've intentionally been left to become derelict. Sorry, Councillor Kutcher.
Yeah, just a question on that. Did Burwood Council make a submission to the recent review of the Heritage Act
Not sure, Dylan? No. If you have some information on that, happy to take it on board, so maybe we can raise it with Dylan.
Yeah, I think it's worth looking into. I'm not sure where the review is up to, but I know that sometime in the last year there was an upper house inquiry in Parliament. I like the intent of this motion, but I wonder if we could be a little more specific about the kinds of powers, the additional powers that council would like. It seems to me that we're, on the one hand, asking our general manager to investigate what powers we already have, and then on the other hand, asking the minister to give us additional powers. It's almost like we're asking the minister it's almost like we're taking that step before we're sure on what powers we've already got. So I wonder if that's a sort of appropriate staging of this, and perhaps
that's a good point. So something's come to mind. How about we have the general manager investigate the legislative powers that are available and or would be needed for Burwood Council to encourage or enforce maintenance of locally? So what type of powers? Then we can sort of go to the minister when we write to the minister to say, these are some of the powers that we could use.
I think that would improve the minute for mine.
So Michelle, I think we, and Councillor Crichton, you had a question?
Not actually a question. I think it's actually been addressed. I was going to raise just the point for me that I think that there is a conflict where council has the power to order a vegetation cleanup, but perhaps not a structural check. And in doing so, to have that deficiency can see some of our beautiful properties really put at risk. And here in Burwood, I think that's really important that we do everything to safeguard our heritage. Thanks.
Good point. So maybe one of the powers that could be investigated in is that, should councils have the power to be able to issue an order for a structural engineer's report to be provided to show that the building's structurally sound? That might be an idea. That's a good point, Councillor. Mm. Councillor.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would just make the point that the proposal in the minute that the council take action against owners, neglecting their properties, does represent potentially a serious interference with the rights of private property owners in dealing with their own properties. I take the point about neglect. I take the point about the commercial, orientation of where this is directed towards. But I also note, the words demolition by neglect. That's a very quite a strong phrase to use, and it is conclusionary in nature as well. It may be subject to expert assessment as to whether a property has been neglected to that extent. I'm not driving around the local area. Certainly you see properties that may have overgrown grass in their front yards or things to that effect, but doesn't necessarily mean that they're neglected to that high degree. So I would be very interested, just following on from what Councillor Crutcher has pointed out, I would be very interested in receiving three pieces of information in relation to this minute. Firstly, what powers the council currently has to direct citizens to, prevent neglect of their properties. Again, this is all very subjective. Secondly, as the minute foreshadows, what additional powers are being contemplated to be requested. And thirdly, the minute mentions a number of heritage items and property within Burwood area. I'd be interested to see a list of such properties and items, if there is such a list in existence, or you know, properties that potentially could be considered to be in that category would be of interest in further assessing this minute.
My intent was that it be reported back to council in any event before technically. I mean, it should come via report so councillors are aware. So I'm happy to include that in the actual recommendation as part of part one, which is and report back to council. So at least councillors have gotten an update on before we write to the minister, because I think that's a good point. One of the other examples I'll give you also is a property on Condor Street, just down the road, which is on the corner of Condor and Norwood Street.
Mm.
That property is actually zoned and has been zoned for redevelopment since 1979 under the old building ordinance scheme, as it was called back then. And that had been purchased, I believe, by a speculative property investor, whatever you may want to call them, or a developer. And they had left the property pretty much for 10 years where it was actually falling apart, and then kept trying to come and ask for some form of demolition, removal to redevelop. And council's heritage advisors, I believe, at the time were quite strong, because it's one of the last remaining examples of a workers' cottage. And I think, I believe from memory, council's heritage staff were quite reasonable, I think, in asking that the property, reasonable in the sense that they said, well, look, you can still have some type of development potential at the rear, but to get that development potential, you've got to restore the front part of the house, which is what they're doing, I believe, at the moment. You've probably seen that. So that's a recent example, sorry, that came to mind again. It's not targeting, you know, the pensioner who's lived in their home for 50 years and is now, it's not, I'm not going down, that's not the intent here. It's targeting those properties that might have a different value. And they're the ones that usually you will find a derelict. The people that usually live in the home, that have lived there forever, generally maintain the home. They don't leave it to a state where it becomes derelict and it's gonna end up being demolished. I think you'll find that's very rare. You'll find that. And there was actually a property, for example, which is now the Montessori Childcare Centre, which is a redevelopment. You'd know up next to. Your place towards your way, Councillor Hull, which was a heritage property, which had an old lady that lived in there that had dementia and became senile and couldn't look after herself, and was actually then institutionalised, I believe, because of her mental health, where you couldn't actually walk into that property. You'd fall through floorboards and everything else, and that allowed a adaptive reuse for that property. In saying that, the council never had the intent to go kick that homeowner out when that property was becoming so derelict. Yeah. So the intent, because there was no real, I think, sinister type intention to, the lady had a mental issue.
Yes.
So that's the intent. Mm. But happy to have, obviously, the report to come back to council. Any other questions? I might just wrap it up on this one. Put them in it. All those in favour? Those against? Declare that carried unanimously, and we can now move into general business, which is item 11/22, which is the planning proposal for the finalisation of the heritage listing at 11 Seal Street build, which I'm sure if you've read the report has some background and history. Do I have a mover and a seconder before it's been moved by Councillor Crine, seconded by Councillor Kutcher? Questions? Before we have speakers, questions? Speakers, Councillor?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm just really pleased to see this item on the paper here tonight. In 13 months, you know, the work that the council staff have done has been incredible, I think, and also the residents, with over 60 submissions being received. Very pleased. I think the heritage status will be a great source for many of our residents and will secure the very rich story of the Island family and their long established roots here in Burwood. Very pleased that it's here tonight, and I'm happy to support the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Kutcher, wish to speak?
Just to add, you know, fantastic effort, fantastic work by the local community, the residents. You know, saw a property that they loved was under threat of demolition. Obviously, you know, that creates some tension in a community. So it's not an easy thing to stand up. It's not an easy thing to put yourself in a position where you're, you know, becoming antagonistic towards a new member of your neighbourhood. So I'd just like to acknowledge, you know, the work and the difficulty that that those residents, you know, the difficult situation that they found themselves in. You know, and I think it's a good outcome, and it's one that I support.
Thank you, Councillor. Any other speakers? Just quickly before I put the motion, I'd like to say I'm quite proud that the council's been able to support the listing of 11 Seal Street build. It would have been a tragedy had we lost the property. I'd like to commend the residents, a couple of locals there, that were quite involved and active. I know Michael's actually observing tonight via Zoom to pass on our thanks to those residents. It showed that the system of being able to bring it forward to council allowed us to put an interim order and it allowed the opportunity for our staff to go out there and actually get some detailed reporting on the property. And, you know, I think it really sends a strong message that we want to protect our streets, especially around Seal Street, you know, the Appian Way, White Avenue. You've got Island Street, Minner Street there. She's got some real beautiful pockets there going down. I won't forget Ethel Street, Councillor Hull. Some beautiful, beautiful streets there with some beautiful traditional homes. And we've seen some great examples. I think we just spoke about of some of those homes that have had a great adaptive reuse. And, you know, how many times have you gone into an actual heritage listed property where they've had some form of an extension at the rear or modifications inside where it's actually a bit more modern, but in character, in theme, you know, where you might have some type of, you know, French provincial type look or something where it actually works quite well with these homes. So, and I think the process is about educating more of our community that you could still achieve the needs of a home within some of these older homes, which can technically be reborn and have a great use and live on because they're great examples of not just the character of the area, but of the history of the area, and you don't want to lose that, especially when, you know, there's been a strong view to having, you know, all the new housing that government's sort of saying, you know, we've got to meet all these housing needs. So if we're meeting that in the town centre and the cost of that is getting these taller buildings, and we're, you know, if that policy is so we can protect our residential streets so we're not widening that area, then we need to protect these homes. And we need to show our community that we're fair income about that. So I'll put the motion, there being no further... you're right, a reply, Councillor. Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimously. Item 12/22, which is sustainable build, adoption of the strategy. Do I have a mover? Been moved by Councillor Kutcher, seconded by Councillor Manor. Speakers?
Well, look, I mean, it's...
Sorry, just before you speak, questions? Councillor Kutcher, the floor is yours.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. Look, I think it's long overdue. We know that the Green Action Plan first adopted in 2008 was supposed to be updated in 2012. I'm not sure what happened in the intervening period. Maybe there was something, but I haven't been able to see what that was. So it's fantastic to see that this work has been done. It's fantastic to see that The consultation's gone out to the community. There've been improvements that have been made to the document. While I think there are still some improvements that could be made, I'm disappointed that we haven't been a bit more ambitious on our tree canopy targets. We haven't been a bit more ambitious on our approach to reaching net zero emissions. I am very pleased to see this. I know that there are people in the community who've been working very hard to see this sort of thing coming from Burwood Council. So congratulations to staff who've really pushed this. It's something that I think we need to support. We need to get on with the job. And I would very much like to see the sustainability committee that's been attached to this that we agreed on at our last council meeting, as I said, then to be established and implemented and getting on with this job as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Manor. Any other speakers? Councillor Robinson.
I'd like to echo Councillor Kutcher's points. I think it's a fantastic initiative, especially as someone who's come from the youth demographic of the area, to see council taking such great action and making such a beautiful step in terms of actually making our place more sustainable, greener, and actually a much nicer place to live. I think some of the stuff in that report is absolutely fantastic in terms of how council's taking its first steps to actually can't tackle the stuff. And I'm hoping to, you know, see a lot more outcomes in terms of the committee coming back to council with a lot of their suggestions that we can then pull apart and make even better. So I think it's fantastic and I commend it. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Crichton.
Thank you. I would just like to also endorse the Sustainable Burwood Plan. I'm really hopeful that this will be very much a living document. And I still think that there are great opportunities to promote the environment through perhaps our street banners. I'd love to see some kind of green message on them sometime in the next 12 months, and which would also encourage and promote some of the great work that is within this document. And I did have another point. Sorry, I've lost it. But no, for now, I just welcome the actual plan and I look forward to the outcomes. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. I won't speak for too much longer. I think I'll just echo the comments of all the councillors. Council's serious about this. I think council has to be a leader. I think we need to be a community leader on this issue. I was talking to one of the councillors today and we were talking about the sustainable committee when I put up the Merrill Minute. And while I had that idea for some time, I purposely didn't want to do it before the last election because I didn't want to make this issue political. I think it's too important. And I'm proud of the work that the staff have put into this. I think it's really important also that we can show the community that we can put in programs that are achievable. We can put in goals and projects. We can do projects that aren't scary. You know, the problem with climate change and the climate messaging is it's been used as a bit of a political football. And there's been a real scare campaign run on that, which is a shame. And I think I think our community's got to be mature enough to sit down and talk about it, debate the issues, and look at what scares people and see how we can bring them along the journey. And some of the examples in there, and it's not just about planting trees. I mean, trees are important. That's great. But it's about things that could be achieved quite easily. And there's no reason why we shouldn't be achieving those, like going 100% renewable in energy for our council on all our buildings and street lighting. Is, you know, it's a great achievement, I think. And I think that sends a strong message to our community and it shows that we're being leaders. And, you know, the cost of that in a $65 million budget that you just had seen in a previous briefing, I think the net cost of that added cost from Brown Energy is about $50,000. So when you weigh that up across a $65 million budget, it's quite negligible. Things like water reharvesting, you know, things like our projects, you know, we've got nearly a $6 million project or $5 million project in Burwood Park. Part of that includes a $1.5 million project to re-upgrade the pond and moving towards a way of water harvesting and using stormwater to refill the pond. The wetlands in Wongal Park, for example, pick up stormwater catchment from Cheltenham Road that feed through tanks and then go into the actual wetlands, which then filter through all the different trees and vegetation across that wetland, and it provides a natural sort of filtration type system. So it's those, the FOGO trials that we're currently doing. When I remember when initially we had some initial residents that came out and contacted council to say, what's this all about and what are you doing to my waste and this is scary and don't touch it and leave it and we don't want to change. And now I'm actually ringing up saying, oh, this is really good. We enjoy this. The kids are on board. It's about that education process. And sometimes in the beginning stages of making a change, it might mean not taking away something that's already there. It might just be adding an alternative. And when people get used to that and understand it, then you can slowly start to move away and take away part of the, you know, whether it be the waste type bin size or whether it be the regular pickup, whether it goes from, you know, weekly to fortnightly, I'm not sure. But they're the type of examples. I also think, especially with regards to our own, like I said, water reharvesting, water tank type system, solar, AV charging stations. I was having a chat to the general manager today where we were talking about, looking at opportunities to include more of those AV charging stations in our council car parks. So it's really encouraging five-star environmentally rated development applications, having that as a standard, you know, starting that with our own urban park out here. So we become a leader. You know, the major projects that we have here should be going to not only design competitions or a design review, but we should be saying that we won't accept anything less than a five-star rating. We should be setting that standard as a council, and the community will jump on board. So I'm excited about it. One of the other things quickly before I finalise is, which is an idea that sort of came about with our discussions with the Canada Bay Build Climate Action Group, is creating more awareness about climate. And maybe the sustainable committee that we're looking at establishing, maybe we actually rename that as a climate and sustainable committee or a climate and environment committee. Let's get the name out there and try to create more awareness and more education. Any further questions before we put the motion? So we'll put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried. Draft Burwood Park Plan of Management, which is on page 149, which is item 13/22. Any questions? I might have a mover first, moved by Councillor Esper. Seconded by Councillor Kutcher. Am I saying Kutcher correctly or Kutcher? Kutcher. I was saying Kutcher. Sorry, trust me, I've had different translations of, or pronunciations, I should say, of my surname, and they're a lot worse, Councillor. I wouldn't be embarrassed by that. So it's Kutcher. 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 Okay, sorry. So, Councillor, it's been seconded by yourself. Speakers, questions?
No, I was going to speak. Big fan of this. Someone who, a former Christian Brothers Burwood boy, would spend every time coming out of the school at 3 p.m. after every afternoon, and it was looking pretty ratchet back then. So it's pretty good to see that there's some planned upgrades, especially that dam pond. So very happy to see that that's in there and that it's listed as a high priority. And very happy to see that that space around there, sort of where the Statue of Confucius is also targeted in this as well. So very big supporter of this. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. Any other speakers? Councillor Hull?
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, I also welcome this development plan, a management plan for Burwood Park. Excuse me. Certainly, the renovation around the pond area is very welcome indeed, and you know, whatever measures are in place for you know, the more sustainable features of that that area are also very welcome. I would also make a comment just reflecting what I might have said in a previous private forum. I think it would be really splendid to see a statue of a queen, of Her Majesty the Queen, in Burwood Park at a prominent location, as part of what I hope would be Council's official commemoration of Her Majesty's Platinum Jubilee. I think it would be a most appropriate addition to Burwood Park. As I note, there is provision in the management plan for appreciation of commemorative monuments, sculptures, and other artworks. So I think that would fit into the to those objectives, and I think. It would be a very appropriate addition, and provide people with a sense of certain vibrancy in the park, and provide people with a sense of belonging as well. I think, that is something I would foreshadow, encourage further discussion at a future time. But overall, I commend this initiative.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Kutcher, you had a right reply.
Yeah, I want to acknowledge that to get to this point, there's obviously a huge amount of work that's already gone in. We're an area that we've got some really fantastic green spaces. We've got some fantastic parklands, but we've also got a growing population. We've got growing density within our neighbourhoods, and so the need for that green space. There's obviously more and more pressure, more and more demands on that. And that means there's also competing uses, and conflicting uses. So having a document like this going out onto public exhibition, getting the opportunity to take further feedback from the community is really, really important. I know that there might be some things that, as we've just heard from Councillor Hull, for instance, there might be some things that haven't gone into this this plan that suggestions might be made from the community. We need to be prepared to hear those suggestions. We need to be prepared to consider those suggestions. So I think, the critical thing there is that we really promote this this draft as it's on exhibition. We encourage community input. We encourage community participation in this discussion. It is fundamentally about the community. That's what parkland is about. So let's make sure that we all take that on board while it's on exhibition. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimously. Next item is the 14/22, which is employment zone reforms, page 207. It's been moved by Councillor Esper, seconded by Councillor Manner. Questions? Speakers? Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried. Item 15/22, 234, budget review for quarter ending, moved by Councillor Manner, seconded by Councillor Esper. Any speakers, questions? Speakers for, against, put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried. Item 16/22, which is the loan borrowing program, which is on page 245. Being moved by Councillor Manner, seconded by Councillor Crichton. Questions? Speakers for, against, put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. Item 17/22, which is the investment report. It's been moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Esper. Questions? Speakers for, against, put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried. And investment report 18/22 for the 28th of February. Be moved by Councillor Manner, seconded by Councillor Esper.
Questions? Speakers for, against, put the motion, all those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. Item 19/22, which is the Councillor Conduct Accountability, which is an information item, which is on page 257. And to receive and note the report's been moved by Councillor Manners, seconded by Councillor Crichton. Questions? Speakers for, against, put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried also unanimously. We go into reports for committees. So the Local Traffic Committee report, which is RC 1-22, which is on page 289. It's been moved by Councillor Manners, seconded by Councillor Crichton. Do I have any questions?
Just one, if I could. Just with relation, Mr. Mayor, to Winston Avenue, Enfield.
What page?
Wednesday Avenue, Enfield, 299. Just the loading zone. Is it unusual that it's just there for 3 days per week from 8 a.m. till 5 p.m., or is that quite a common feature? See that? It is proposed to install 20-metre loading zone, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Tuesday to Thursday, $2.99.
I'll just hand over to George too.
Thank you. It just jumped out at me. Thank you.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, that time was decided in consultation with the business there. So that's when they have focused their deliveries. We do have the flexibility to nominate which days and times for loading zones. So we didn't want to, you know, increase the span of hours in case other people wanted to use that space. But the business definitely needs some space for those days.
I think there'd been some issues, I think, with regards to some of the practices on that site. Yeah. There are no further questions. Put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried. And also there's the RC2/22, which is on page 303, which is the 150-year report, which is to receive and note the report's been moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Kutcher. Or you had a question? I had a question. Okay. Second, yep. Did you wish to speak, Councillor? Councillor, you had a question?
Yeah, I just wondered, just with regard to the logo, the explanation of the logo on the final page of that report, I just wondered whether or not that is to be published anywhere, or is that an internal sort of notation?
Brooke?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it's just an internal notation. I think we would probably explain a little further. For example, the Aboriginal quadrant was developed by an Aboriginal artist. We'd put a bit more information if it was to be circulated publicly to explain. But that was just information that was presented through to the committee.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? So it was moved by Councillor Crichton and seconded by Councillor Kutcher. Put the motion, all those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. And I believe that is the end. There's a response for questions without notice, I think. I don't think there was any raised. So, councillors, you know the procedure to raise questions without notice? Yeah, questions on notice.
I can email them.
I think we're supposed to lodge them in. But if you want to read them out, councillors
for the new
council.
I'll be quick, everyone, I promise. So question one for me is our Learn to Swim program at Enfield Aquatic Centre impacted by a national shortage of lifeguards and swim teachers due to COVID, as reported by the Royal Life Saving Society? Two, with the artist's consent, can the winning entry of the Burwood Art Prize be considered for inclusion in our public art program. And three is the Jolt charging station in our Angelo Street car park near Liverpool Road at Burwood. A, the first vehicle charging station in Burwood LGA. B, what assistance will council provide to promote this location? C, will council collect data from this new facility, such as the number of users, the length of stay? And D, are other locations and suppliers being considered? Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. Now, you know you have to submit those, so we don't, there's no process to read them out anymore. I just sort of allowed it for the new councillors to sort of just get an idea. You, so you can, and then they get reported back to the next council meeting. Yeah. Okay, I think that's it. So thank you, Councillor, for attending via Zoom. And I declare the meeting closed at, I can't see the time. 7:02 p.m.